The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up on Life Today, faith, family, and freedom are under attack.
It is time for every one of us to recognize that God has called us to stand up and make a difference.
Stay tuned as Pastor Robert Morris and James Robison call us to stand together before it's too late.
If we don't fix what's wrong in Washington, we won't have a nation left to talk about.
Welcome to Life Today. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Betty Robison and this is James.
And Betty, we're facing something very important next week.
Yes, we are. We're voting.
Well, why do you think it's especially important perhaps this year? Because I think, even though you and I have been married nearly 50 years and we voted a lot since we were 18, I think this is perhaps, I'm not sure we've ever had a more important election.
I'm not either, James. And it's so important that as Christians, we be concerned about it, we be involved, and that we're informed enough to vote, to vote for the principles, to vote for what we believe God has created this country for and the importance of it, and to vote for the future of our children and grandchildren.
Yeah, and I want to say something real personal to you right now, so I just kind of want to connect as though we're sitting right in front of each other. What we've witnessed in the, let's say, the changes that are very positive in America, like Martin Luther King's dream that we would judge people by the content of their heart and their character, never by the color of their skin. The fact that we have an African-American president is a sign that we have made tremendous progress in America, that we had reached that point. And we've got another candidate now that's running that is part of the Mormon faith that many professing Christians or evangelicals or many Protestants and many Catholics would say, well, we're troubled about that, and yet we've got two distinct choices that, in my opinion, shows a lot of progress in America, that we would be looking at what are the belief systems when it comes to leadership that are brought to the forefront. Betty, I can remember years ago when I was, along with Billy Graham, I was the most visible Southern Baptist evangelist. Matter of fact, among Southern Baptists, more so than Billy Graham was. Billy and I have always been close. He started helping me when I was 19. We've been real close. I'm on television because God told Billy Graham I needed to be on television before God told me. So we're very, very close. But we had a Southern Baptist Sunday school teacher who was president. And yet principle said that we would be better and wiser if we put a Hollywood actor in the White House. And one of our own Sunday school teachers, perhaps back on the farm. Now, that was a very principled choice. I think it was one of the most important in the past century. I believe it led to the downfall of the Soviet Union. I think there's no end to how great Reagan could have been had he not just been surrounded by political activist minds, but more of the faith people who did impact him greatly in so many ways. The point is this. We're not choosing based upon race or religion, but based upon principles. Real principles, time-tested, historically proven, sound, unshakable principles in line with biblical truth. We've got a choice to make right now. Are we going to let government keep getting bigger and bigger, God and faith smaller and smaller? Or is God going to become bigger in American life and government under control of we the people, and we truly love our neighbor? And we become our brother's keeper, not looking to another pharaoh, another power base, but God and government under control rather than out of control. We have very serious decisions to make. It's the reason I wrote the book, Indivisible of All Things, a Protestant Evangelical with a Catholic Philosopher. I hosted a conference called Under God, Indivisible, brought national church leaders together. It was a miracle event. I want you to hear the message that I delivered, followed by a message our pastor, Robert Morris, delivered, pastor of Gateway Church in Southlake. Listen closely. Under God, indivisible.
Let me just say that I believe with all of my heart our nation is in deep trouble. And the responsibility for the crisis situation, the perilous course we find ourselves on, rests largely on the shoulders of people who profess faith in God and a belief in the Word of God. The Lord Jesus gave us a commission to be His witnesses and disciples, and to disciple not just members of our congregation or our community or our church, but to disciple the nations. We have that commission. It is high time we become more serious about obeying it than we have ever been in our lives. If we do not obey that, the future of our nation is dim and dark, and I believe freedom will fall. We must stand up to preserve what we have been blessed to enjoy and share. And now is the time for people who claim to believe in the importance of faith, family, and freedom to stand together. We have to stand. The only group, the only influence base that can correct the course are the people who understand the importance of those values. Jesus said that He left us here as His disciples to make an impact. And He said it would be a battle because He said, I'm sending you as sheep in the midst of wolves. That doesn't sound like a church picnic. But He did not say, I send you as sheep to the slaughter. I'm sending you out as sheep with the Lord as your shepherd, who will direct your steps and protect you. He will enable you to accomplish the mission that is set before us. Jesus told us we are to love our enemies, but He did not say we're to get in bed with them. Now is the time for us as believers to recognize that we have a divine assignment, not to be pro-party, but to be pro-principle and lift up a standard to all parties, to all candidates, and to all voters, and return to the standard. We have a reliable standard, the ever-living, eternal Word of God. Return to those principles. It's absolutely essential. Jesus said, you are salt and light. If you understand salt, you know it preserves and protects the precious. The preciousness of life. What could be more precious and more innocent and worthy of protection than the unborn in the womb? We have allowed 50 million innocent children to be slaughtered in the wombs of their mothers, and it's as though we don't even raise a protest anymore. We've got to offer to those who are in a desperate situation the counsel that will enable them to make the right decision. That's to show them not the problem with Roe versus Wade, but the preciousness of the life in their womb and the potential of that life. We've got to deliver that message to them. Jesus said, if salt loses its effect, it's good for nothing but to be trampled under the feet of men. Are we not witnessing everything that is sacred trampled under the feet of men today? Faith, family, freedom, marriage, and life trampled underfoot. What happened to Chick-fil-A? Trampling freedom underfoot, not just a business, not just someone who took a stand for biblical principles, but they are trampling under feet our freedom. We cannot allow it to continue. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. And He said, do not allow that light to be covered. Don't let it be hidden. Do you know how I believe most believers have hidden the light? They have covered it with religious conformity and with comfort and compatibility. And in that comfort zone where we have enough light to make good decisions and see our little immediate family and those around us blessed, we have failed to put that light up on the lampstand where it pierces the darkness. Jesus said, we're to become a city set on a hill. The only way we're going to be a city set on a hill is to stand shoulder to shoulder in heart harmony, to become the city set on a hill that cannot, will not, and must not be hidden. That means we do that with absolute commitment to the will and purpose of God. It is time for every one of us to recognize that God has called us to stand up and make a difference. In our blessed privilege of choosing our leaders, among Protestants and Catholics, we have the ability to correct the course in short order. 50% of the Catholics and 50% of the Protestants do not even register. And 50% of those who do don't vote. And a very high percentage of those who vote are ill-informed or uninformed. That must be corrected and corrected immediately. This is the hour when the church must stand and refuse to stand down, refuse to be silent. We don't have to give one moment of our life or one inch of our land to the enemy. Stand up for what's right and refocus our attention on God and correct our nation's course. We have to do it together, and we have to do it now.
Well, about 10 years ago, James asked me to come on his program and to teach on giving. The reason he asked me is because it's something that my wife and I have been living for over 25 years now. And he said to me, the reason I want you to teach on giving is not just because you live it, but because what you teach is what I believe the Bible teaches. I teach give to give, not give to get. The give to get message actually works greed and selfishness into our hearts. And God invented giving to work greed and selfishness out of our hearts. So I wrote a book on it, and then I got all these emails and letters a few years after that, a few months after that, and this is what people said: I'm giving, but I'm still in debt. Now, I don't understand that statement personally. As if giving is some magic cure-all. Giving is simply one financial principle in the Bible. The other is stewardship. And if we don't learn to steward what doesn't belong to us, but what belongs to God, we're in trouble. And the reason that I'm saying this is because when I was on Glenn Beck's program a few months ago, he asked me, as an evangelical pastor, what is your greatest concern about our nation? And I said, I do have spiritual concerns, I do have social concerns, I do have moral concerns, but my greatest concern is economic right now. If we don't fix what's wrong in Washington, we won't have a nation left to talk about. We are building the track. We are building the track at a mile a day, but the train is going 2 miles a day. We are discussing all these extremely important issues, but we are talking about it on a sinking ship. We cannot afford to not put men and women in Washington that understand biblical principles about finance. What I'd like to ask every person that goes to Washington, every leader, is do you operate your finances the way you are operating our finances? You can't spend more than you take in. It's an impossibility. And why don't more people demand that they begin to operate our finances correctly? We could do it if we would just do, very simply, even the penny out of every dollar that was presented to us this afternoon. Even a third grader knows that Johnny can't eat 4 apples if he only has 3. It's not that hard to understand. We've got to do something about what's wrong in this country. And what's wrong is in the heart. Now you're thinking, I can't believe that you're going to spend all of your time on finances. Let me tell you why. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I speak at pastors' conferences all over this country, and pastors have gotten that verse wrong. They think that Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be. And they think if they can get people to put their hearts in the church, then their treasure will be there. It's actually opposite. When people put their treasure in the kingdom of God, then their heart follows their treasure. The reason we have a treasury problem is because we have a heart problem in this nation. And we've got to do something about it. We've got to stand up and vote, and we've got to do our part. I'd like to say that God has a part, and we have a part. And when you study Scripture, God never does his part until we do our part. The Bible doesn't say, they shall get well, and you shall lay hands on them. It says, you shall lay hands on them, and they shall get well. Laying hands on them is our part. Them getting well is God's part. But he waits for us to do our part. The Red Sea didn't part until Moses lifted the rod. And we will not have change in our country until we do our part. And God's not going to do our part. I heard Pastor Willie George tell about a lady in his church that was working in the nursery. She wasn't married, she didn't have any children yet, but she was volunteering in the nursery. And she was a real funny lady, and so she was just talking to God, and she said, God, when I get married, are you going to help me? When I have children, are you going to help me? When I change diapers, God, are you going to change diapers for me? And she heard the Lord say very clearly, I am the Lord, I change not. There are some things that God's just not going to do. But the good news is, if we will do our part, God will do his part. And our part is to humble ourselves and pray and turn from our wicked ways and seek his face. And then he will hear from heaven, will forgive our sin, and will heal our land.
And I want you to know, in absolute terms, one of the greatest wickednesses that free people have been guilty of is not accepting and assuming the responsibility to be well-informed, inspired by the heritage that we have, and Betty, by the price that has been paid not only for the birth of freedom, but to protect and preserve our freedom on the part of the military, the armed services, and their families. Not only our freedom, but freedom and the possibility of it all over the world. The fact that we have not even been willing to get informed and involved and vote, and then to be professing Christians and followers of God and not shoulder the load of maintaining, protecting the preciousness, not only the unborn, but freedom itself, and assuming the responsibility to care for one another and to bring an out-of-control power base under control, so that we can truly be blessed and be a blessing to the nations of the world. We have an opportunity, Betty, with all of our viewers, to put God's arms of love around an overlooked, forgotten world, the truly poor and suffering. And that's what we're doing right now with your help. I want you to watch this. And yes, we want you to pray, and we want you to vote because it's your responsibility. But when you see someone in need, God says, meet that need if you can. This is one so simple for every one of us to have a part in meeting. Watch closely.
Well, when we watch the show and we have the clips of the hungry children, it's really hard for us to even imagine that in this country, someone being in those conditions. And I think what says something to me is when you look into their eyes. There's no language barrier when you can look into their eyes and see the need. And in contrast, it is wonderful to look into the faces, into the eyes of the children who have just received their bowl of food.
It's very gratifying to me as a businessman to know that we would be working with a quality organization, one that's responsible and truly dedicated to their mission.
We know that Life Outreach is good soil. You know, life is short, and we really want to be good stewards of our time, our money, our gifts that the Lord has blessed us with, that we can be a blessing to others, and that it's used wisely.
Some of the things that we received from Life Outreach, like this little statues and the bowl and things, we use it for feeding around the house. That's what I use for cereal. The grandkids ask about that, and then Georgia has a teaching moment with the grandkids.
Because it is so important that we leave a legacy to our kids and grandkids. We feel like our giving to Life Outreach is very important, and it's made a difference for us to be able to share that with our children and with our grandchildren. We want to teach them that it is so much better to give than to receive.
Boy, Georgia and Dad, I wish I could just put my arms around you. And I know you feel like we do, and I know you realize that you've helped us put God's arms around a world of hurt. Thank you both. You really are a representative, I think, Betty, of so many couples and individuals and many people on fixed incomes, and then many people who've been quite successful who just say, I want to bless someone. I want to give them some food. I want to give them some love. What an incredible picture, I think, of so many of the viewers of Life Today in Australia and Europe and in Canada and here in the United States. I believe they just are very typical.
I do too, James, and I think of our friends and supporters of Life Outreach, and I believe you are good soil where God's love grows and His joy in giving and helping to others comes out of us through you, because there is good soil there and you pass on the blessings of God to others. And that's what we do when we help these children. We're being good soil for God to grow His love and to express it to others.
You know, when someone's sick, and I think most of you know, our youngest daughter did have such a battle with cancer over a period of time, and I know all of you prayed, and we're so very grateful for that. But you know, when somebody's sick in your family, you say, I mean, they don't feel good. I wish somebody would tell me what's wrong. And then if they tell you what's wrong, and then they can say, but it could be right. You can be well. You can get well immediately. You can be, and hope springs up, and then they get well, and you rejoice. Well, listen to me, please. We've diagnosed the situation overseas firsthand, up close and personal. It'll never go away. It's in my heart to put God's arms around them. I know what's wrong. They're hungry, just like a lot of you are spiritually hungry. That's why we come to you to help you. It's why you care about the future of the country and the freedom of the world, and we inspire you and challenge you to be guardians of truth and life and freedom. But when you see a need and you can meet it, and Jesus said, if you do it to the least of these, you've done it to me. You've extended my hands when you meet their need. We believe just as that beautiful couple, you want to do it, and we ask you to do it today. We come to you twice a year, and for a period of time, we say, would you help us feed children for the next month? A gift of 30, 50, or 100 will feed 3, 5, or 10 children. Would you make that special gift, please? Would you do it right now? If there's any way you could help us take care of 10 children, make the $100. We're asking you to even give 125 and enable us to give 25 more bowls. We're giving the beautiful Sarah Young Jesus Calling Study Bible. It's absolutely fabulous. What a tremendously beautiful leather-bound Bible. And with those devotionals. And then we're sending the book that so many people asked me to write. Beth Moore begged me to write it. Many have. And it's about the lessons we learn from our pets, from wildlife, the God of all creation. You will love this devotional book. You won't be able to put it down. We're sending it just to say thanks. You can go online, lifetoday.org, or just dial that number and take your bank card, but please do it. Help us feed 3, 5, or 10 children for the next month. Whatever you can do, you make the best gift you can. Would you please? Thank you for doing it.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's Mission Feeding Teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we would like to send you James Robison's newest book, The God of All Creation. Through his personal observations of animals and wildlife, James shares heartwarming stories and spiritual lessons of God's love and grace. With your gift of $125 to help feed 10 children, you may request the new Jesus Calling Devotional Bible, featuring 260 scripture insights from the author of the Jesus Calling Devotional, Sarah Young. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 to help save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
I sure do want you to help us with the children. I want you to get this book. We're sending it to everyone for any gift. You may wonder, how do you learn something from a pet? Why did God give them to us? I promise you, it's going to bless your socks off. Like Beth Moore said, I'm so glad James wrote this book. And of course, she does love her dogs and her pets, but she loves everybody. I want you to get it. And then let me recommend something. Get this. Last ounce of courage. Show it in your churches. Show it to your family. What a message for our armed services and for freedom. Get it as a DVD. It'd be great if your whole church would find a way to watch it. And we got to take a stand for freedom. You'll like this.
Tomorrow, as Dr. Tony Evans and Sammy Rodriguez challenge us to become one nation under God, indivisible. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.